passage of scripture we started with from Colossians, where we are encouraged by the writer of this letter to put on the clothing that will make us more like Christ. So I'm going to encourage us to read this scripture together. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. A word from our Holy Scripture. A couple of weeks ago, I made little cards with that scripture on it, and some of you may have taken them home, and I think, David, there's still some extras if people want to pick them up. Yeah, so if you want a card with that on it, I'm encouraging people to take it home and put it in their mirror or on their fridge or in their bathroom, somewhere where they'd see it each day and say, I need to clothe myself in these things. So far, we've said, clothe yourself in compassion and in kindness, humility. And last week, Simpson talked about meekness or gentleness. And so today, we're going to launch into clothing ourselves in patience. That word that just immediately when I say it makes some people anxious. Patience. You know, you've heard that little prayer. Some of you maybe says, Lord, give me patience right now. An awful lot I can say about patience, but we don't have time. Yeah, a few people got it. Yeah, it's one of those things that we know we should have, but we've got less and less of in today's society. It's difficult to cultivate patience when everything is moving so fast these days. Somebody just said to me a couple weeks ago, I find it very difficult now to read through a full article in the newspaper when we get our news in just little bite-sized pieces. I heard this week on CBC on a program that the average Canadian has 5 social media accounts. Whether that's Instagram and Twitter and tweets and Facebook and all of those things, 5. And a good majority of them check everyone every day, and that's where they're getting their news. I got caught up in this a couple of weeks ago when I heard a little blurb about something that had happened recently, and I mentioned it and expressed an opinion on it, and somebody called me on it. Said, you don't have all of the information. Be careful what you report. Good lesson for me. Can't always trust those news items. But technology seems to be speeding us up at ever faster and faster speeds. I gotta confess that this week as I was preparing for the message, I was reading an article on patience. And I was sitting in the living room reading, and my phone was out on the table in the kitchen, and it pinged that a text had come in, and it was all I could do to continue reading the article because I wanted to get up and go check that text message. That's how fast we respond, right? We hear something that we need to respond to right now. We find it very, very difficult to delay gratification. So I was reading research that had been done in Canada on how long our attention span is now. They've been doing research over the years, and right when sort of the social media stuff was starting up around 2000, they had done research on how long our attention span was, and they just recently did some more research on it. They interviewed a number of people, and then they did some neurology test to see how long attention spans are. What do you think our attention span was in 2000 in seconds? 180, our attention span's about 3 minutes, 12 seconds in 2000. 12 seconds. That's how long we can hold on to one thought and pursue one thought before we bounce to another one. How long do you think it is now? Pardon? 8 seconds. We're not quite there, but we went from 12 to 8 seconds. I don't know how they do this, but they did research on fish and they can hold it at a thought for 9 seconds. So fish are doing better than us. 8 seconds where we can be focused without having another thought bounce into our minds. I know I'm trying to practice meditation. It's one of my focuses for my sabbatical. And it is so hard to sit and meditate and remain focused. It's very, very difficult these days. I stopped by somebody's office this week to have a little chat for a few minutes, and she said, I can chat, but I'm on hold right now. So, you know, if somebody comes on the phone, I have to say goodbye. We had a good chat for about half an hour, and she was still on hold when I left that day. If anything tests our patience, it's calling somebody, but maybe we need that today. They also did research on people who had high-speed optic internet and dial-up internet. People who had dial-up were far more patient than people who have a high-speed internet. People wouldn't last more than about 5 seconds waiting for a video to download before they went on to something else. That's how fast we want life to go today. Galatians 5 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit, is patience. And you've all heard probably of the seven deadly sins, but there are corresponding virtues that go with it called the seven heavenly virtues. And one of the virtues named in that is patience. We need to develop more patience as the world is spinning out of control seemingly around us. Here's the definition of patience, which we used to call forbearance or long-suffering. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. It is the level of endurance that one has before being reduced to some sort of negative response. It is how much we can endure before we will get nasty or snap or angry or bossy. The level of road rage itself is increasing these days as we become less and less capable of just being patient. Like I say, there is a lot of information out there on patience today. It used to be that we thought we needed patience to develop skills, and that is still true. But more and more educators are finding that actually patience itself is a skill that needs to be taught, that we don't have much of it these days. There are a number of benefits to being patient, but I am going to just hit on three of those things. First of all, patient people achieve more. Patient people are far more successful than impatient people. This past week, I was watching a little bit of the Paralympics, and I was amazed not only at the skill level and the concentration and the ability to do those sports, But I couldn't help but think as I was preparing for this message today, how much more patience those Paralympians had to have than able-bodied folks to get into those sports and train for them. First of all, they don't have as many resources to do what they do. But the work it takes just to become so good at those sports are amazing to me. I was watching some of the curling where there's four people in wheelchairs and one has to hold the other as they throw the rock. Well, the other, they don't have sweepers or anything like that. And it's just remarkable to me, the work that goes into and the patience that must require to become an Olympian at that level. Patient people will achieve more because they put in the tedium it requires to achieve what they need to achieve. The bottom line today is that the world's biggest problems to be solved, whether that be economic problems, environmental problems, problems of enough food or energy, will only be resolved today through patience, because it will not happen overnight. It may happen over generations, and people will have to persevere in order to solve some of these problems. Thomas Edison, who must have failed many times before he discovered light and many of those things, said, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." We give up too easily because we're becoming more and more impatient. Yet patient people succeed more. Little illustration for you. Who took piano lessons when they were kids? Please, would you help me out for a sec? Come on up. I brought a little book here. It's Easy Piano Classics. Can you sit down and play this for me? No, you can't. It seems like gibberish to most of us, right? So Lee says she can't sit down and play this for us. She can't even read it anymore. Thanks, Lee. Amy, could you sit down and play this for us? She wasn't prepared for this on purpose. I took piano lessons when I was a kid too. I couldn't sit down and play it either. The bottom line, if you're willing to put in the time and you're willing to be patient through the difficult times and suffer through all of that practicing and all that work that needs to be done, you're not like me, you're like Amy. That's how patience works. Same with learning a language, right? I dearly wish I could play the piano like that, and I dearly wish I could speak another language. But I didn't have the patience to put in the time or the effort to do that. Patient people achieve more. Second, patient people are happier. And that goes along with the success in achieving more. When you have the skills, when you feel like you have been able to achieve something, when you feel like you put in the time and the effort to do something, you're just happier. because patient people are willing to delay the gratification and to stick it out and not worry if they get the rewards right now that wait for them. And so they'll be happier. And along the way, they'll stop to smell the roses. Life is not a race to be won, although it is terminal. We're all going to get to the same place someday, but would we rather get there happier, or would we rather get there with more stuff? Patient people don't let the small things faze them. They move through them. They're willing to wait for the greater reward and don't get anxious about it. Just chill. Just chill. Joan Chittister, one of my favorite writers, writes this: "There is enough suffering in life without creating more. The world will not end if the potatoes are cooked before the meat, or the car stalls at a traffic light, or someone doesn't show up on time, or the computer is being slow, or your kids or your spouse aren't doing things the way you want them to. Relax. It may be slightly annoying in the moment, but the world won't end. So why waste so much energy acting as if it has? We waste far too much energy on small things that don't matter that much. We get very, very impatient with life and with people. Relax. And finally, I want to say this. Patient people have way better relationships. I think we want tiny bite relationships today, not tiny bite news as well. We want tiny bite relationships. You know, you're going here, we're going there, what's happening in your life? You know, we're going in different directions. We don't sit down to talk much more, to seek to understand and to listen to each other, to go deeper into each other's lives, to resolve a conflict by sitting down and trying to understand. So our relationships are failing all over the place because we're not spending the time, we're not being patient with each other. I want to say this goes for God as well. They say there are no atheists in a foxhole, that everybody will pray in difficult times. I find, even when I'm doing a memorial service or a funeral, that everybody, even if they don't have a faith, appreciate that you pray. And that you will pray for them. I can ask anybody, can I pray for you? And even if they have a hard time with God, they will accept the prayer. We want prayer in difficult times, and we want God to come through in our most difficult times. And yet we are not putting in the energy and the effort and being patient in developing the relationship with God. And then we expect something from God when things are difficult. Catherine of Siena, who is a 14th century doctor of the church, she was a philosopher, and she described the spiritual life like this. She talked about it as being like a tree. The trunk of the tree is love. The roots of the tree are self-knowledge. The branches of the tree are discernment. And the core of the tree that keeps it alive is patience. That's how she described the spiritual life. How we develop the spiritual life. That you cannot have discernment, that you cannot have love, and that you cannot have self-knowledge without the core of your life being patience. And if we do not develop our spiritual life based around patience, we will not have love. And I think we're struggling with that in our world today. Love does not come without patience. And our relationships with God does not come without developing it day after day after day. The same thing happens in our human relationships. It's the daily effort it takes and the daily patience it takes to be in relationship and to build on that relationship. One of the things I see far too often today is mostly when I go to a grocery or department store where parents are impatient with their kids. You can tell the difference. When parents are impatient, the kids are calm. When the parents are impatient, the kids are a little wild. The other thing I so often see as well is people expecting other people to do things the way they do them. And when they don't, people jump in too fast to do it yourself. Everybody is going to do it a different way than you do it. Let them. The job gets done. Maybe not exactly the way you want it to get done, but it will get done. Have patience with your kids, with your partners, with your friends, with other people. It builds relationships like nothing else. Is to be patient and allow people to be themselves. How do you become patient? You have to practice it, darn it. Yes. You have to practice patience. You have to do it. You have to be deliberate about it. Like all valuable skills that we have in our lives, you have to develop them by practicing. My dad had this on the doors of his shop. I used to laugh when I saw it, actually, because he wasn't a very patient person. I don't think he ever looked at it, in fact. I have it on the side of my stairs when I go downstairs. Slow down. We've got to slow down the pace of life. When it is speeding up, in order to be patient, we have to slow it down. We have to force ourselves to stay calm. Where's the place where you most become impatient? Then work on being patient. If it's on the road, I hear people say, I can be calm in any circumstances until I get on the road and then something snaps. Be patient. Give yourself more time if you need it. And don't sweat the small stuff. Don't make it big. Don't spend a lot of energy on stuff you don't need to spend energy on. Let people do it their way, not your way. And you know the little tune from Frozen? Let it go, let it go. Sometimes you just need to let it go. It's all good. Patience, the Bible says, is a fruit of the Spirit. Spend time with God and let it go. This week I'm going to encourage you to clothe yourself in patience. We're going to spend some time now in reflection, prayer. There are stations on either side of the sanctuary.